American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, July 30th, 2007. And that's right, this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global SITREP on core political technology, tyranny, and trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up along with these and all these news stories and check my facts by going on to the intraweb, or the internet, or, you know, server, or whatever you want to call it, and go to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. That would be my live journal, where, you know, I generally put all the show links and everything that you would need in order to, you know, access the general show. This is a free podcast, not a broadcast, but a podcast, which comes to you loud and clear from RAND Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, and anybody else who wants to broadcast this on shortwave, longwave, AM, FM, I don't really care. You can do whatever you want with this show because, hey, it's fun. It's fun as long as you don't make money with it because, you know, as we all know, making money is bad. Well, making money is not a... That's a funny one, isn't it? You know, making money is kind of a funny thing. Everybody kind of looks at making money with a different sort of viewpoint, you know? Some people think that, oh, making money is the best thing ever. Well, if it's the best thing ever, then is it wrong to, you know, exploit people for money? This is why I have... You know, it's kind of funny how things work their way into the lexicon. I've talked before about the word pimp, as in pimp my ride. I am big pimpin' ain't easy, all that good stuff, right? Now, it seems to be somewhat acceptable in our culture that pimping has become kind of cool. I don't know why, but it's essentially exploiting people, you know, for profit is somehow good. You know, this is come to pass. I don't know why that is, if a particular culture has made that popular. I don't know if it's just a lexicon thing. I don't know what it is. But it's kind of an odd statement, you know, the pimping, big pimping, all this kind of stuff. And now I use the word against my will, which is interesting that it's kind of come in and you know, it. I don't really have a choice whether or not to use that word because I've used it. I don't want to use the word, and yet I do. And this brings me to the thought of, like, swearing. You know, I've thought a lot about swearing. Me and swearing have had kind of not really had the greatest relationship in the world. I started swearing back in the day when I was listening to comedians, you know, Eddie Murphy and all those guys, Robin Williams, all these guys, because swearing was funny, made things funny. These guys would swear and it was funny. And now, you know, as you're a little bit older and you grow on in life, you know, the swearing, it isn't so funny anymore. People just kind of look at you, especially in a professional environment, people look at you like you're, you know, kind of an idiot. You know, it sort of like paints yourself with a stigma. Should they look at you that way? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But they do. They do, which makes me wonder, you know, could I stop swearing if I wanted to? You know, I'm not saying, never mind whether or not you should. Never mind whether or not you should. That's a debate for a totally different thing. But could I? Could I? Not you, me. Could I, Sean Kennedy, stop swearing if I wanted to? It's an interesting question, you know, and I'm the only one who can answer that. I don't know if I can. But I'm debating, you know, giving up on it, you know, just to see if I can do it. Just, you know, for no other reason other than that. I mean, of course, there's a lot of other reasons to do it. But it'd be an interesting go, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, of course, once you get mad, you lose control, and you start swearing. But isn't it funny that if you get mad and lose control, you start swearing? You know what I mean? Like, the very act of getting angry and losing control makes you swear. Funny, isn't it? Isn't that just kind of weird? But anyway, let's get into some feedback right off the top. Dear Sean and Sim. Sim, you're in on this one, too. Sim is on the road right now. He's preparing for our massive, you know, entrance into DEF CON once again this year, which this will be the last show before DEF CON. Next show should probably be recorded at DEF CON. Won't that be a hoot? So, you know, I don't know what Sim's got planned. I'm going to be bringing the laptop down. I'm going to see if I can, you know, record a show down there. Should be a good time. Did it in New York. I don't see any reason why we can't record the show at DEF CON. Should be fun. Dear Sean and Sam, I want everyone at Rant Radio to know, I want everyone at Rant Radio and everyone who listens to Newsreel to know this. I would just have to say that Rant Radio, Samarian, and Sean Kennedy have changed my life for the better. Before I accidentally came upon Rant TV and Winamp's Internet TV, I was just a sheep like everyone else, following along, listening, and behaving, believing what people say. Now I'm a man, well, a boy in age standards, on my own, trying to change this world for the better good. And I would sincerely like to thank you, everyone at Rant Radio, especially Sean Kennedy, for his wonderful show of Patrolling with Sean Kennedy, and for Samarian for filming and getting it to where it has to go. Thanks, you guys. Tarchi, or actually that's pronounced Tarky, which he was nice enough to include the pronunciation of his name, which I always appreciate. Now, there's an interesting piece of recommended media today. It's called Zeitgeist, and when you watch it, it's very, very well done, and it points out a lot of the reasons why, you fight against certain things, you know what I mean? But it's important to not give up. It's important to, when you watch that film, to realize, you know, how big of an enemy you are up against, which is why it's important that you don't pronounce yourself as a target, why you have to make sure you stay sort of subversive, why you have to use their own tactics of subversion rather than invasion to, you know, infiltrate, you know, their midst and whatnot. It's a very good piece of recommended media today. And this is precisely the kind of thing that Tarky should be doing, you know, with his life. I mean, granted, there's a lot of people out there who think, I'm going to change the world, you know, so they stop taking showers, they paint themselves up a sign, and they go live in a van down by the river. And this is not going to change anything, okay? If you want to change the world, you're going to do it one conversation at a time. You have to make sure that you're looking after yourself, you have to make sure that you are a viable solution to what, you know, they're advertising on the television and in media. I mean, people will be looking around and they think they're gonna pick an archetype to work off of. They're gonna think Friends, you know, that's what I wanna be. I wanna grow up and be on Friends. I wanna be one of those kind of guys. I wanna have like a little loft apartment and have a nice car and jet set around wearing groovy clothes, and that'll pretty much be my life because I'm normal. I don't wanna be a weirdo, I wanna be normal. So if you could come up with something that's kind of fun, you go out, you meet people, you know, think about the same ways that a lot of these groups go and they get subversive about stuff. They infiltrate societies. They talk in social parties and stuff like that. That's exactly the kind of techniques we're going to need to use if we're going to try to get ahead of, you know, the core political state. Just throwing it out there, just talking about it. Because if you're serious about it, if you're not just like, I'm young and I'm angry and I don't care what anybody says, blah, which, you know, there's a place for that. God knows I've done enough of that in my time. But all I'm saying here is if you want to be in for the four-quarter game, if you want to be here for the long haul, want to stick around and make a difference, you should have a game plan. You should look at how you're going to make money, how you choose to make money, how you're going to become profitable so that you can influence people's lives. This is wise. Okay, this is a wise thing to do, and you spend more time planning out your future than you do planning out your vacation, which unfortunately, in our society, in our culture, more people spend more time on their vacation than they do planning out their future, which to me seems kind of odd. Perhaps a bit backwards. Moving right along. Hey, SKTFM, just wondering if there is a list/database of all the bullshit and/media governments. You know, ties to oil, cover-ups, religion, brainwashing, all that kind of stuff. That's, again, another reason why I'm recommending that media Zeitgeist today. P.S., are you going to do a story on Facebook and how the core politicals are spying on us, building records/linking you with other people monitoring your messages? I believe the new era of control is coming soon. People keep inviting it in. We need to inform. And that was sent in by Peter. Well, you know, Peter, you're probably right. There is a whole lot of people who are just willing, all too willing, to line up and allow themselves to be cataloged and chipped and, you know, jump inside the lineup so they can get doled out their fair share, so they can stay children forever. So they never have to be responsible for their own actions. They just want to be cared for so they can laugh and frolic and play and not worry about the big scary world which is out there in reality. Whereas, you know, that comes with a price. If you're going to stand up and be accountable for your actions, if you're going to stand up and get involved with this kind of stuff, then, you know, you can't afford to let yourself be that way. You can't afford yourself just be, you know, oh, I didn't know. You have to be accountable for your own actions. So I don't know if there is a massive database out there. It's called the Internet, I suppose. You have to do a lot of research. There is no way to really make it easy. You have to do a lot of hard research on your own and work with people who you respect in order to, you know, form opinions. That's really the long and the short of it, Peter. The power of server. Hey, Sean. Now, this is a great example of the power of server, okay? The other week, I was talking on the show. I was talking about Psytrance. I like Psytrance. It's good music. You know, it's originally from Goa, India, I guess, and they came out with Psy. And you look up the history of Goa Trance and Psytrance and all that. So I enjoy the music. I think it's very, very cool. Not for everybody. You know, different people at different stages of their life are into different things. I, particularly at this particular juncture, am into Goa and Psytrance. So I got this letter here. Hey, Sean. Just got done listening to last week's show. I wanted to give you some tips regarding Psytrance. I'm a 25-year-old guy from Sweden, currently working as a train conductor. Trying to get out of that job, though, it's not a good fit for me. But still, that's kind of cool that some Swedish train conductor was listening to my show. Been listening to Psytrance for a couple of years. Wanted to give you a few suggestions for albums to check out. Vibe Tribe by Wisecracks. GMS Growing, or Vibe Tribe Wisecracks is the album. The band is Wisecracks. GMS, Growling Mad Scientist, Emergency Broadcast System, sounds like a good album. Psysex, Remixed, 1200 Micrograms, Live from Brazil, 2005. VA Aspara, very, very cool. If you have trouble finding them, please email me and we'll see what we can do. Been listening to Newsreel for about 6 months now and really dig the show. Hoping to donate something in the end of August. I was also really excited to mention the possibility of an After Now audiobook. I would love to give you and Sim a great big thank you for what you're doing. More independent media for the people. Best regards, Buddy from Sweden. Now, consider the power of this. Consider the power of this. Okay, we went and, you know, I was just talking. Said, yeah, I'm interested in Psytrance. And a guy from Sweden responds to me with genuine interest. I mean, that's the power of radio. That's the power of internet radio, where people all over the world can align themselves out of choice with, you know, being a WOG, and they decide that, you know what, yeah, we're all going to get in this together. We're going to help Buddy out. We're going to help my fellow listeners out, because even though, you know, Sean is just this crazy guy in Canada, I'm some crazy guy in Sweden, but hey, at least we're both crazy guys, and that gives us some common ground. You know, we got the show, we have the world going on around us, we enjoy independent media, we like thinking differently from what everybody else thinks, and this is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's a pretty good deal, I think, personally. Now, I think it's a pretty good deal, and whenever something like this happens, where a guy in Sweden picks up the show and then emails me with something I've said, you know, it just makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside, and I don't think it's just the coffee. Here's a link that I got sent up. Another thing that was, you know, talking about the power of server. You know, there's a lot of depression that comes from dealing with the internet. There's a lot of depression that comes with, you know, knowing what's going on, with understanding that, hey, you know what, the Federal Reserve is a ripoff. There's a lot of, you know, doubt, and you don't want to believe the truth, because the truth is, in fact, pretty horrible. You know, there was that statement that truth is beauty and beauty is truth and all that kind of stuff. That's all we know. That's all we need to know. Well, you know, sometimes the truth is pretty ugly. What if it's true, which, you know, it looks like it is. What if it's true that 9/11 was an inside job? You know, what if that's true? What if the Federal Reserve is full of people who are trying to enslave the populace? What if it's true that the neocons and perhaps not adhering to political parties, those with power, you know, the Bilderbergians of the world, you know, what if they really do want to kill off a few billion of us, have us all put in camps and things like that? What if that's true? That's a pretty sobering thought, don't you think? I mean, that's kind of scary. Kind of makes me go, not too sure that this is something I'd want to do. You know, not really, you know, maybe it'd be better to believe in, you know, some strange sort of religious, you know, mindset thing. I mean, maybe that would be a better way to go. Solar, you know, events are pretty good to worship at that stage of the game because, hey, at least at that point, you don't have to deal with the grim and quite frightening reality that has confronted us. You know, so occasionally when, you know, you're feeling kind of bummed out because, you know, we're all pretty much headed for slavery, I like to look at things online. And this is something that got sent to me because this is, Dear Sean, I clicked earthcam.com. This is very cool. And after some random surfing, I saw three people on a sidewalk of a New York drinking a beer at 4:45 a.m. All of a sudden, I realized that what an age we live in. I can gauge through this magical mirror called the internet at almost anything I want. And this is truly the magic of our times. I mean, this is straight from fantasy books and old fairy tales. Amazing. I thought I would share this with you. Tech Mecca. Well, Tech Mecca, you know, man, I'd have to concur. There's some amazing stuff which can be done in our times and technology. We have mind-controlled robots. We have things that go on in our day-to-day lives that were science fiction not even 20 years ago. And yet here they are today. We can deal with them today. That is an amazing thing and an amazingly powerful thing. And we need to remember that there is a lot of hope in the future. And it's not all just, you know, bleak nastiness and blah, 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 blah. No matter how cool the soundtrack is and how much you like your leather jacket, it's nice to remember the sunshine sometimes. You know what I'm saying here? Sometimes Sting is nice. Sometimes Enya is nice. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's nice to just take a big step back, you know, and you know, just, you know, think Jonathan Livingston Seagull for a little while. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And you've got to remember that there is hope for the future. Otherwise, you know, hey, well, it's all over but the crying, isn't it? Now, here's an interesting one. Now, I got this sent in to me. I'm going to read this out to you. Let's talk about immigration. Okay, now this is an interesting one here. I like stuff like this because it's a touchy one, you know. You don't get people really talking straight about immigration. Dear Sean, this is a letter that I got here, okay? Dear Sean, thoughts on immigration rules. Let's cut out the coyotes doing business and ripping off their clients. Coyotes, I guess, are the guys who smuggle people across the border. At any of the legal border crossings, any immigrant can get a valid ID card if they have a sponsor, an employee verified by letter, and $500 expense money for a 90-day work stay. If they do not have a sponsor, they will get a 30-day valid ID and be required to have $1,000 expense money, which $1,000 US is a lot of money when you don't have any cash at all. They will be required to register, as parolees do, with an agency immediately providing an employer and an employee address, a pay slip, and a valid address within 30 days of entering the country. This applies to 90 and 30-day work stays. At the employer's request, these valid IDs can be extended to 6 months. However, still, the entry must report to the agency every 30 days to provide the employer with an address, payslip, and living address. What is so complicated with this program? It should help all involved, save lives, desert crossings, legalize the immigrant workforces, satisfy the employers, and encourage employees to register or have their immigrant employees registered, therefore keeping track of them. Sincerely, a concerned citizen, score one. Well, now, this is interesting stuff. First of all, we're all immigrants, okay? Everybody in the country is an immigrant. If you're an American right now, unless you're First Nations, then, yeah, you're an immigrant. If you are First Nations, well, then you're a conquered people. It's kind of unfortunate, but let's cut the shit. Okay, that's exactly what's happening. Here's pretty much the way that works. The white man comes to North America, slaughters everybody here without any kind of just cause at all, takes their stuff, kills everyone using germ warfare, kills far more, you know, Native Americans than Nazis ever killed Jews. And we enslave everything in sight. We extort people. We rape the land wholesale like there's no tomorrow, okay? And that's not to say that all First Nations tribes that were running around were doing a wonderful job of looking after their earth. They had their own problems. They had their own slavery. They had a lot of bad stuff going on themselves. But they weren't doing it at the scale that we are today, you know? So understanding that, really, who are we at all to stop people from crossing the border to work in our country? You know what I mean? We have national health care, blah, 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 blah. Well, no. See, what's going on here is that we've created a slavery system in the southern states. What's slavery in the southern United States? How is it possible? Well, it's true. You go down to the southern United States, anywhere in there, and all of your menial, and this is kind of unfortunate, but uneducated work, you know what I mean? Work that's done, you know, like maids, janitors, that kind of a thing, fast food jobs, all that kind of stuff, is all done by people from Mexico. I don't know why that is. Could it be because these people are desperate and they need, you know, jobs or whatever? But you can't escape that, you know? And people, they feel, like that's okay, I guess. They like having, you know, cheap labor is what they call it. I don't know if I agree with a lot of this. You know, immigration and immigration policy is a pretty slippery slope. You know, it is a pretty slippery slope. You got to throw the brakes on somewhere, right? But by the system that you've laid out there with these people, I mean, they're pretty much at the total whim of the employer. The employer can be like, yeah, well, here's the deal. I'm going to say I'm going to pay you $6 an hour, but in reality, you're going to give me $2 an hour kickback. And if you give me any guff on this whatsoever, I'll report you as, you know, stoned at work, and we'll deport you right away, and you and your family will never be able to be here. So essentially, you've made yourself into my voluntary slave. And I don't know if I... Is that just the way the world is? You know, grow up, Sean. This is the way reality works. You better get on board with it. I don't know. You know, I'd like to think that there's something better than that. And I don't like to think of immigrants as lesser humans like a lot of people do. I mean, these people just want a better life for themselves. They want a better life for their family. You know, maybe that's... You know, and then of course we get into the concepts of terrorism. How real is the concepts of terrorism? You know, things like that. It's a complicated subject. You know, if you're going to get all draconian and lock down the borders, then be draconian and lock down the borders. Try that out. Get people to study the results of that. Look at the long-term picture of it. But, you know, right now, as it sits, we've got this kind of crazy border war action on the go where people are getting into open gun battles along the border. And that's not very cool either. Not so into the open gunfighting along the southern border. I don't think that's really hot. And yes, it is happening. There is open shooting going on across the border down there. So, you know, I think that anytime you've got stuff like that going on, and let's not forget gangs like this MS-13 that's starting to come up now, where you have a gang that is hiring ex-special forces to train their people. You've got a gang who's using Shadowrun technology and tactics, stuff right out of the books. We're talking like about running recce missions and having spec ops trained guys where they soup to nuts right from where the drugs are planted to being sold on the street. It's all one organization. The evolution of crime is changing faster than people can keep up. And, well, I mean, you know, there's a complicated situation on the go. When you look at the big issues like that and you want to argue about it, you want to debate about it, you're never really going to solve that. I mean, unless... You know, buddy here, like score one, unless you're actually involved with the immigration process, I don't think your opinion's really going to mean anything. I know mine's not going to mean anything. So why do we bother ourselves about it? Well, Sean, you're supposed to know what's going on. Yeah. No. I'm not saying don't learn about it. Don't learn about what's going on in your world. But you got to focus your efforts on the things you can affect in your world. People go, oh, I want to change the world. Well, all right. How are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to raise awareness. What the fuck does that mean? Raise awareness. Raise awareness about what? Yeah, you can raise awareness. You can raise awareness. You can talk about things and social issues and stuff like that. But, you know, you do have to think about other ways of doing it too. Maybe changing a lot of your own habits. Maybe changing how you do your shopping. Maybe changing how you spend your money. Maybe save your money. There's something that nobody talks about. Save your money. Nobody says that. When was the last time you were encouraged by anyone other than myself to save your money? How many times does that happen? Doesn't happen that often. I think of a couple of rap songs where they say it. That's about it. No one talks about saving money. It's always spend. Because there's lots of money in the world, right? No, there's not. And, you know, rather than getting all wrapped around the axles with issues that, yeah, you should be concerned about, but you shouldn't let these issues get in the way of things that you can change in your own life. For example... Looking around you right now, let's say you're listening to this at home, okay? Looking around you, is the room, let's say you're listening to this in your study, your den, your computer room, okay? Is it clean? Just a question. Is your computer room clean? Is it organized? Is it, you know, set up the way you want? You know, honestly now. Honestly, you can go, oh, I like it messy. I can see where everything is. Yeah. But you know for a fact that if you... Would you keep your life organized? Would you do that? Would you live with a Palm Pilot or, you know, some other PDA-type device where you could schedule your time? Lots of reasons to do that. Lots of reasons to do that. Lots of reasons to get organized. But people just don't seem to want to get organized because it takes what? It takes effort. And you're not going to get anywhere without a little bit of discipline and a lot of effort. Sorry, but that's just the truth. Sort yourself out. What a great segue for sort yourself out, eh? Dear Sean, I'm wondering, is my mind broken? I get a lot of letters like this. This is a hard to write out because I think you're going to rip into me or this. Oh, but this isn't hard to write out because I think you're going to rip into me or anything. It's just hard for me to talk with just about anyone, especially about this. You compare the brain to a computer a lot, which I do. Well, I most definitely have a software problem, only for me, it's more like I have a corrupted OS installed from the very beginning. Not so good. What I mean is, when I was much younger, around 6, I guess, I was abused fairly often. My stepfather almost drowned me, put me in a cage with animals, would attack me. Much to his entertainment, I never fought back. I was more confused than anything at the time. But I know I felt quite a bit of anger. Now I'm much older, but still, somewhere deep down, I expect people to act the same way to me. I feel dead. I have no emotions. Really, as showing emotion is just ammo for someone to ridicule you. The only real emotion I have is fear and anger. The sort of seething anger that makes you just want to beat someone to death in the middle of the street. I know I wouldn't, though, so I must be a little sane at least. I just don't feel human anymore, going through life like a machine. I'd like to die, but I don't plan on offing myself. See, people seem to be very attached to life in general, so I might as well see if things get better. I've seen a professional about this, and it did help a bit, so there's no need to suggest that I'm going to freak out or anything. I'll go through life as detached as now for however long it takes to die. It's kind of bleak. I guess it's not a very positive outlook on life, but there's really nothing to be excited about so that I can help that. I felt this way for years, so it's not like I'm just having a bad day. I mainly wanted to write so I get off my chest. Doc didn't help much in that regard, so I guess I'm wondering if you think a person's mind can be permanently broken. If you have any advice, I'd like to hear it. Signed, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, now, this is a good one. This is a good one, because a lot of people have had really rough childhoods. Okay, mine wasn't a bowl of cherries either. I wasn't put in an animal cage and had, you know, things attack me and shit, but, you know, it wasn't really a bowl of cherries either. Sometimes you get a bum rap, you know? Sometimes you get a shitty deal. And there's not a lot you can do about that. There's no real fair. You know, that's the other one that gets me, is fair. Fair is a human concept. Is it fair that the wolves, you know, eat the old and the young and the injured? Is that fair? No, that's not fair. But is it fair that, we were born in this country instead of, you know, born without a chance in some African mud hole somewhere, destined to die of hunger? You know, sometimes it's just the luck of the draw. Now, from what you've said there about, you know, your history, you feel really, unhappy about things. That's where you got to kind of go out to discover the things that make you do happy. And it is important to think about things that make you happy. Which sounds dumb, doesn't it? It sounds like, oh, well, what kind of namby-pamby shit are you selling on the show now, Sean? No, really. What kind of things make you happy? What makes you smile? First-person shooters? Sunshine? Puppies? I mean, I don't know. But, you know, there are things out there that make people happy. And joy can be found in a number of places. And I can't tell you where to find it. You know, you got to find joy wherever you can. And realistically, you know, of all the things which I've learned in my life, first of which being, you know, have a job you enjoy. If you don't have a job you enjoy, get the love of a good partner. You know, male, woman, whatever. You know, you want to make sure that the person you life partner with, you love them and they're good for you in a very healthy way. So if you can handle those two things, you should be able to pursue happiness. You should find the things that make you happy and follow that. Because, you know, there's so few, there's such little happiness floating around in the world, man, that you got to get it wherever you can. Hypnotherapy's out there. There's a lot of stuff that you could use to work through your stuff. If your doc you're talking with isn't there and it's not the right dude, then, you know, maybe you should look for a therapist. Work through this stuff. Because you don't want to walk through the rest of your life waiting to fucking die. That's a waste of time, man. That's a waste of time. You want to get some perspective on this shit? Swing down by the hospital. I'm telling you, swing down by the child care ward at your local hospital. You think you're, you know, I'm not crapping on you. I'm just saying, do this, because I did this. I worked in a burn unit with children for a little while, swapping out phones and that. And let me tell you that will alter your perspective on things. Another place you could go, other than the hospital, is, swing by the old folks' home. Have a few words with some of those cats. See if somebody in the war could maybe give you better advice than I can. Ask some people. Try to make a difference in your own life. Say, tell people, you know what, I had a rough go. You ever get into details? Yeah, I had a rough go. The old man was a bit of a psycho. And now I got some problems, you know, and I'm trying to figure this out. Do you have any suggestions for how to get past that? Maybe some guy will come up with some crazy idea. Like, he'll say, oh, you should go to the Amazon and go talk to a shaman down there. So go do that. I mean, those shaman guys, they seem to know a lot, you know. I don't know, maybe it'll work. It's worked for some guys. You know, maybe you should do that. Go see an Indian shaman. Go see a priest. Go see somebody. You know, maybe there's something you can do which will let you get root on your software. Something that will change your perception. You know, I don't know. But you can't just sit there, throw your hands up in disgust and say, fuck it, whatever, I'm waiting to die. Well, come on. That's a bullshit response. You and I both know it. But the question is, do you got what it takes to really try to change your life? That's the bottom line. I think you do. I think you do because you're WOG. You're WOG and you're looking for permission from somebody to go do this. And I'm going to go change your life and look for the better. You know what you need to get done. You know what makes you happy. You know what's, you've got things that you could do, some adventures that you want to go on. And if not, read until you get some. You know, work on yourself. Sometimes if the bits and pieces get broken and scattered on the floor, you got to sweep them up. Got to sweep them up. Reading is a good way to do that, which is a great segue into the next news story. Because this cat here, he liked reading so much, but unfortunately it cost him his house, which is sent in by Wyandi. Wyandi sent me this one. Which makes me really think of after now. Remember when I was saying that they were getting to get rid of books and it became hard currency, these books? Well, a bookstore owner's obsession with the written word has cost him his Pennsylvania home after local officials decide to deem his book collection a fire hazard. Wow, only in America would books be considered a fire hazard. Authorities in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, condemned John Puchnak's apartment a year when a routine inspection raised concern the bookstore owner's collection of nearly 3,000 texts could cause a fire. His books burst into flames all the time, the Wilkes-Barre Leader reported on Wednesday. Puchnak now resides in a local hotel while attempting to limit the stacks upon stacks that decorate his condemned apartment. But even if he can restore the apartment to acceptable living standards, Puchniak said he cannot afford to appeal the city's to reopen his home. Attorney Jim Hayward has become a champion for the troubled literary fan, attempting convincing local officials that to let the 59-year-old store his growing collection as he sees fit. The city's priorities are wrong. This guy, this is not the guy they should be going after, he told the newspaper. The average person may not agree with how John stores his books, but does that mean that it's wrong? I guess this guy's got piles of books in his apartment. Considerable amount of weight, you know, but you ever tried to actually burn a book? Here's a good one for you. You ever tried to actually burn a book? Yeah, seriously. It's not that easy. You need to have a pretty good fire going to burn a book, to really burn it. I mean, you can scorch the outsides and stuff, but it's kind of a hard one to get the book burning going. Yeah. How about some more depressing news? You ready for this one? How about some pay for everything news for Standing by Vampire 60? This is a good one here. Sun, sand, and RFID, the high tech network beach is coming soon. Ocean City, New Jersey is a nice family oriented beach that will apparently soon be the high tech model for seashore lovers and now perhaps geeks everywhere. The city has on its plate a $3 million variety of public services on tap featuring internet access, radio frequency identification chips, and Wi-Fi wireless technology. A wireless network will let Ocean City expand economic development and control the cost of local services. Wireless allows the city to save on cell phone usage, T1 lines, and adds efficiency. By maximizing connectivity, there are a variety of ways to enhance education, library services, emergency management services, city executives say on their website. The provider of the Ocean City Wireless Network has not been determined yet, and the city meets this week to possibly select a service provider, but is on track to have wireless coverage here by early 2008, according to the city's website. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? More connectivity is good, right? The wireless net would be free to residents and $6 a day for tourists. Oh, but that's not all. The city is looking to replace its ubiquitous but mostly annoying beach tags, which indicate you paid to get on the beach, $5 a day or $10 for a week or $20 for the whole summer, with a wristband that contain an RFID chip. Want to go to the beach? Want to see the ocean? Want to see, you know, the part of the earth that's actually three times larger than that? We're going to charge you for that. That way, there'll be no more hassling with beach tag checkers, as they can use handheld devices to see who has a tag and who doesn't. Last year, Ocean City spent more than $282,000 to pay 170 badge checkers, and the new RFID wristband will certainly reduce that number. Yes, we'll hire less people and get everyone chipped and wristband. Now, this is kind of bizarre to me. I have a problem, and they go on to say here, this is crazy. A mother going to the beach with her three small children, for instance, could have her bracelet linked to those of her children. If one of them passed through an electronic sensor at the entrance or exit to the boardwalk without the right adult, a text message would instantly be sent to her cell phone, the Asbury Press says. Of course, you know, if she has to have her cell phone tell her that her kid is missing, chances are they're not going to be able to get the kid back. She's just going to have confirmation that the text message should say, "You are a bad mother and someone has stolen your child. Please, you know, alert the police immediately, you fucking idiot." You know, and why stop there? Why not just, put all the RFID so you have information in case, you know, a shark eats you? And that way, you know, if only your arm washes up on shore with a tag, they can look at the file and say, oh, well, you know, and that way you should register whenever you go swimming. And that way you could tell what the likelihood of shark attacks are. Shark attacks are up, right? Sharks are attacking me. It's a summer of the shark, right? You know, I don't really like the whole notion of people charging me to go to the beach. I don't even like paying for parking at the beach. Okay, people have been lighting fires on the beach and staring at the ocean for quite some time. I don't know if what can really be called sacred in this day and age, but I'm going to call the ocean sacred. Yeah. Yeah, I'll go there. Why not? You know, and anybody who's ever sat on the ocean seaside somewhere, you can't put a value on that. You can't put $5 a day on that. And who the fuck are you to collect that? You know, the ocean is just as much mine as it is yours. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know. That whole thing just kind of rubs me the wrong way. Might be legal, might even make some sense, but it just leaves a really bad taste in my mouth, you know? In cyberspace news, how about this one here from San Francisco? Anything else pretty much goes on, anything pretty much goes online, anything pretty much goes in online virtual worlds. There we go. I'm a big kid now. I can read. Identities are nebulous. Online characters known as avatars chat it up, gamble, or even have sex at first sight. Insane. Yes, it's true. You can make the little images on the screen do stuff. Increasingly, though, these online zones like Second Life are becoming places where commerce is happening. Big companies such as the IBM Corp and the Intel Corp use these graphic-rich sites to conduct meetings among far-flung employees and to show customers graphical representations of ideas and products. It's the metaverse. Now, in hopes of capturing the power of this new platform while avoiding the potentially embarrassing incidents, IBM is taking the unusual step, you ready for this one, of establishing official guidelines for its more than 5,000 employees who inhabit Second Life and other online universes. So if you work for this particular corporation, you can't be free even on the internet. IBM appears to be the first corporation to create rules governing virtual worlds. The move has its critics, who say that mandating behavior of the so-called metaverse is unlikely to reform impish avatars. They also question why IBM would add a layer of button-down bureaucracy to this relatively rollicking corner of the internet. IBM executives countered that having a code of conduct is akin to a corporate stamp of approval, encouraging workers to explore more than 100 worlds IBM collectively calls the 3D Internet. What a fantastic name. Now, this to me is precisely the kind of reason why, you know, you play Counter-Strike, is preparing for a moment such as this. When you've got people walking around in the metaverse telling people how to behave themselves. This is retarded. If you don't like how, like, okay, I can understand if you got your own house, you got your own servers or whatever. Okay, it's all private. You don't want people to act a certain way on your servers. That's totally different. We're talking like IRC here. It's private. You know, it's invite only if you're not there. But you can't govern these people's behaviors in other parts of the realm. That's just ridiculous. And anybody who thinks that they can do that, well, they need to get their head examined, because that's just crazy. Dear Sean, I got a letter here about some White House news. Pretty interesting stuff. Dear Sean, I was surfing Bushwatch And I found a reference to the above executive order issued by Bush that says it's okay to block the property of people who are threatening the security and stability in Iraq here at home in the States. And how does that work? Many people are theorizing this could lead to war. This could lead to war protesters having their property seized. Now, isn't this interesting? Except from Bushwatch, this is from Bushwatch from Wednesday, July 25th. Protest war, lose your property. On July 17th, the White House quietly announced an executive order entitled Blocking Property of Certain Persons Who Threaten Stabilization Efforts in Iraq. Among other developments, it gives Bush power to block the property of people in the U.S. found to pose a significant risk of committing an act of violence which might undermine political reforms in Iraq. So that means they can take it if you pose a significant risk of committing. So would I fall into that category? Would I? I don't know. Have I said the wrong thing? The terms of significant threat and act of violence are unclear. If you attend a demonstration outside Bush's definition of political reform in Iraq, would that count? How about writing an angry letter to the editor? The vague language is also includes outlawing the making of contribution or provision of funds, goods, or services by, to, or for the benefit of any persons whose property and interests in property are blocked pursuant to this order. So what does that mean? That means if you donate to an anti-war group, which outside your knowledge has been blacklisted, means that you can be, you know, arrested, thrown in jail, have your shit all taken. Try to help somebody who's been blacklocked, you know, in some way where they're all like, you know, on the blacklist there and then they're done. You know, they decided that we don't like them in our society. Love it or leave it, baby, you're done. You try to help that guy in an Underground Railroad type situation. Well, guess what? Your shit's gone, too. These people don't. They haven't been blackballed. These people have the plague. Kind of scary, some of the, you know, land of the free, home of the brave. Isn't that how that's supposed to work? I don't know. In countermeasures news, now this is something that might be an idea, I don't know. Millions of Americans are victims of credit card fraud every year. A fifth of these people blame the internet. In fact, top reason why people shy away from the internet shopping is the fact of theft of personal information. Virtual credit cards, also known as substitute credit cards, or controlled payment numbers have been around for almost 7 years, but never caught on despite being free and an effective layer of protection. Here's how they work. You sign up for a program, MNBA, Citibank, Discover, and PayPal all have them, and download their software. Enter your credit card info and generate a new number whenever you want to make an online purchase. Pretty smart. Depending on the program, the new number will be a one-time use, have a small spending limit, and with an imminent expiry date. Or will be able to be used multiple times, but only with one merchant. Your actual account number will only be visible with you and your bank. The merchant never sees the number and can't retain your information in his database. This way, hackers will only be able to see your temporary number, which will be useless to them. So why hasn't this caught on? Many consumers find them to be a hassle, particularly when you'll only be liable for most $50 your actual credit card is stolen. However, credit card theft can turn into a full-blown identity theft when your credit information is matched up with other information about you that is floating around on the web. Interesting stuff. And, of course, that's really the reason why we don't do anything. Isn't that the reason why we all just kind of stand back and take it easy in our lives? Because, you know what? It's a hassle. Who wants the hassle, right? Nobody wants the hassle. I don't want the hassle. In self-aware machine news, and this was sent in by Wyandy, a computer program that learns to decode sounds from different languages in the same way a baby does helps shed a new light on how people learn to talk. Researchers said on Tuesday, they said the finding cast doubts on theories that babies are born knowing all the possible sounds in all of the world's languages. Interesting. The debate in language acquisition is around the question of how much specific information about a language is hardwired to the brain of an infant and how much of the knowledge that the infants acquire about language is something that can be explained by a relative general purpose of learning system. So it gets pretty heavy here. They're talking about computers being able to learn language and how that develops in with people. Now, when they're doing this, when you consider how much sound is online, I mean, now you hear this call may be monitored for quality purposes. How many conversations do you think are recorded? How many conversations do you think we could use to get people different tone, pitch, intonation, voices, different kinds of accents. How long before we can make machines actually listen to us? It's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. Now, on some black ice news. Now, this is interesting. Extortion is a funny thing. Recently, I've seen some of this in the real world. But this one here is kind of wild. New Trojans. Give us $300 or the data gets it. Now, this blows my mind that this is still going on the web. And, you know, yet you have people freaking out about, you know, having RFID tags in case you sneak your way to the beach. There's a new breed of ransomware in town, and it raises the stakes compared to previous viruses of this sort. Both Sinowall and Jepcode AI have identified by security companies Panda Labs and Casper Labs. Sinowall FY and Jepcode.ai is the name of the strains. But Panda Labs and Kursky Labs have identified these guys as malicious strains, older Trojans, that encrypt users' files so that they can no longer be accessed. The Trojan plants a README text file, which where the user will find it, and inside demands $300 in order to decrypt the files. The ransom note tells the user in broken English that the files have been encrypted using the RSA 4096. Unless cold hard cash is forked over within a period of time, the content of the files will be shared with the world and then deleted. However, Panda Labs says that these are empty threats. The files merely remain encrypted on the user's computer. Not only that, but Kaspersky Lab analyst Alex Gotsev claims that the Trojan actually has a limited shelf life between July 10th to July 15th, for reason only the Trojan writers understand. He also points out in his personal blog that the Trojan writers' claim of having an RSA-based algorithm is false. There is no sign of RSA 4096. This is what Buddy said. It's amazing to me that this kind of stuff still goes on. I can't believe that, you know, doesn't that strike you as kind of weird that we're still getting this happening and yet we're supposed to be so secure and so safe, yet, you know, you can have somebody encrypt all your data and steal everything online? Doesn't that just behoove you to really seriously learn a little bit about security? Shouldn't that behoove you to maybe it'd be worthwhile if this happened to you? You know, it's nothing like losing all your data to convince you to back up your system. You know, maybe there's a positive spin you can put on this. Today's daily hack is DIY Stenography. Gotta like it. Remember those invisible ink kits from when you were a kid? You'd write a secret message and no one could see it unless you had a black light or a decode marker. The digital equivalent of invisible ink is Stenography. Software, apps, and embed files and data inside your other files, hidden from everyone who doesn't know any better. You don't have to be a trained spy plotting international espionage to put Stenography to good use. With some free tools for both the Mac and PC, you can embed secret information in an image, PDF, HTML, or MP3 files for both fun and profit. Why Stego? Unlike encryption, which obscures data in such a way that it's obvious someone's keeping something from listeners in, and therefore heightens the interest in that info, Stego techniques offer to no hint to the outside that there's any private data contained within the visible file, like handing your valuables to a burglar in an empty cereal box in your kitchen cabinet. Or like hiding your valuables from a burglar in an empty cereal box in your kitchen cabinet. Stenography keeps the existence of secret items from everyone but those in the know. Now, this is a much more preferential way than a lot of encryption to me because, there's nothing more obvious than a bunch of encryption floating around on the web. But if that's something you do want to go with, then here's 10 free services to send self-destructive emails. Thanks to Kwame Kozalot, who sent a lot of news to me this last week. Thank you very much. And for the paranoid, if you combine that with FireGPG and you are golden, so says Kwame Kozalot, which is true. Self-destructing emails, hey, I'm down with that. Recommedia this week is, of course, Zeitgeist. Make sure you check it out. You're going to want to sit down. It's pretty hard to argue with, and it's a little bit dark, but important for you to watch. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week from DEF CON to make sure that you get all the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this program, please distribute. But if you can donate to this program, please go do so by going to the Dark Atlas website and clicking on the Donate tab. Or you can send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. Or we can do what L. Ron Hubbard did. Hey, if you want to support me, buy my book. You can go to Lulu Press, buy a copy of Scab Wings of Abaddon, and that way you get something for your hard-earned money, which you can later use to line your budgie cage. I would like to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at ranradio.com. And, of course, I've just thrown some random psytrance in the background. But I'm going to fade out now with a track from the same random psytrance, because, hey, who doesn't like psytrance? And remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy. Defeat? We will never defeat. We will never defeat anyone. We will never defeat the enemy. If we are at each other's throats, we have to recognize our goals and begin marching towards them. Even if we don't march together, by the usage of directional chaos, we will achieve our ends. So until next time, everyone, that's what Server said. End of line.